I was born bold.
Melbourne Airport Parking. We're here to get you there. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Rob Heathcote's been a revelation for us. Wisp, a nice bit of levity for us over the journey, and we need a laugh more than anything else. He's also got some very fine horses. Tipped us for Show Me the Money. Kept this whole segment alive with his tips, and he's got a few in at Doomben tomorrow, so we'll find out how they're going to go. Go, Robbie.
Yeah, g'day, Gary. We're racing. I suppose that's the big positive at this stage.
Yeah, about the only sport that is going on at the moment. So how have you been affected? How are you handling it all up there? And what would have happened if we weren't racing tomorrow?
Well, the biggest change happened in the last 24 hours because Racing Queensland's just decided to try and, in an effort to keep us going, they've introduced zone racing. So basically they've divided Queensland up into five zones. Right. I suppose in an effort that if somebody gets it in one zone, they can shut that zone down and racing can keep going in the other four zones. So it's probably not such a bad idea. Christ, I hate to even think what would happen if they shut us down completely. You know, what do you do with, I mean, just in the Brisbane area alone, 1,000 horses, what do you do? Yeah. They still have to be worked. They still have to be cared for. So, you know, I suppose like, I don't know, post-depression years, post-war years, racing, you know, in essence, kept the nation going to a degree with its, you know, entertainment and obviously, of course, the betting factor because it's just a huge business. And just here in Queensland alone, Gary, I mean, there's 11,000 full-time jobs. I mean, you turn that off overnight, you know, what a loss to the society. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's just hard to contemplate, isn't it? I can tell you that the races tomorrow will never be more watched ever, I wouldn't have thought, including the spring carnivals and the Melbourne Cups of the world and all that sort of stuff, because there is nothing on tomorrow. And that means we'll be having a look at Minji, Downloading, Monaco Snob and Guntonte, amongst others.
Yeah, look, it's Minji. Tell me, where'd that name come from?
Minji Lee.
You're a sporting dealer? Yeah, well done. Australian Golfer of the Year 2 years ago, and West Australian, I think she is, and her brother, Min Woo Lee, he's a top golfer as well. So, yeah, a few golfing nuts up here, and she's a talented filly. I mean, she's one of, I'm not going to say she's as good as Rothfire, but she's not far behind him. She's pretty talented, but she's come up in against a pretty quality field. Tony Gollan, my arch rival just up the road from me, he's got one in there that I think they paid $575,000 for. One start, one win. He goes very, very good. So it's going to be hard to beat. We've drawn wide, but Minji's all class. She's very, very good. So and you're going to get 8 or 9 to 1. I think she represents pretty good each-way value if she has some luck in run. Just caught 3 deep. She had 1 run. Was 3 deep the whole way and still had the tenacity to run third. It was a super run. She gets a bit of luck tomorrow. She can give it a shake.
And what's your best bet for the day, do you think, Robbie?
I would say her, Minji, each way. I mean, I've got another very, very good horse in later in the day called Guntonte's, race 9. He's only a 3-year-old. He's probably in the top 3 or 4 3-year-olds in the state. He's won over 400,000 last year. He had the 1 run down the Gold Coast and got rolled, but everyone who knows, follows my stables, knows I'm not a huge fan of that track down there. I mean, good horses get beat. Farnan, he ran the Golden Slipper, for heaven's sakes, and he's had 6 runs, 5 wins, 1 defeat, Gold Coast. There you go. There's your answer.
Hey, we've got a minute. You had a horse called Hop Garden, won $800,000. It was retired last year. It's a very good horse. Strange name for a horse. How did you name it?
Oh, look, I named a lot of my horses, lads, after places that I visited in my former life. I was a pretty shy young lad, and I worked for a company called Kentucky, and we took tours around Europe, and I remember one occasion I was in Hofgarten, dormitory-style accommodation. And, yeah, when I say dormitory, you're sharing a room with 20 or 30 other people, and there was a young girl on another bus. Staying there, we looked at each other and we saw that little twinkle and I thought, gee, where do I go here? I said to my driver, give us the keys to the bus. I've got to go and study the map. You know which map I was going to study.
Right.
So anyway, I go out there on the bus and put a bit of soft music on, a bit of bread, away we went. So we finished, jumped down out of the back of the bus, and there was about 100 people around the balcony all looking down into the bus and gave us a nice round of applause. I lost a bit of shyness, I can tell you.
Robbie, you're coming up to 7 o'clock, not before time. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
And for the last time too, I think.
Good luck tomorrow with your horses. We'll take the news. We've got a discussion to have with our producer. We'll be back. Sammy Edmund is coming up very shortly. The Adventures of Whippy Watson, too, just after. And I think this is a stirring rendition. Basil Zemplis is going to join us. And our good friend, the Opal Kayla George. She's had a massive week-long drive from Melbourne to Cairns. She'll join us as well on Fun Friday. But after 7, Brad Blanks to continue. A bit of a laugh. Oh, boy. Well, will you get to the news, please? I was
born. Melbourne Airport Parking. We're here to get you there. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh boy, Robbie Heath has become a sensation. Maybe slightly inappropriate. Stories like that bring a smile to people's faces during this tough time. I hope he becomes a regular. That's Phil from Brisbane. And I think, judging by these special text messages coming through, they loved him. Hey, we got a busy show for Fun Friday. The Adventures of Whippy Watson continue. Sammy Edmund will update us with what's going on with the pay dispute. Looking forward to talking to your friend. I don't know Basil that well, to be honest, but I couldn't call him a friend because I don't know him well enough. But I'm looking forward to having a chat with him. He's got the big special with Ben Cousins on Sunday night. And then Kayla George. She's been driving for about 3 weeks trying to get up to Cairns with her husband. So we'll talk to our favourite Opal. Speaking of favourites, this man has long been a favourite of ours, going way back, I reckon 15 or 20 years, when we used to try and get a hold of Brad Blanks. If you don't know the story of Brad Blanks, a country boy I first met through Shane Crawford, then decided, and a great mate of Hutchie's, decided to go over to the States and just see, you know, what could happen over there. And now he's one of the biggest entertainment reporters over there in the country, bar none. And he's always been good enough to us, and he's taken our call this morning. Blanksy, welcome.
Oh, Gary, Tim, how are you, mate? Good to hear your voices. I tell you, you've been a calming voice. I go for my afternoon jog as I listen to you guys in the morning and celebrate the magic you put on over the last 2 weeks. A calming influence in these crazy times, I've got to tell you.
Crazy times indeed, Blanksy. Now, you base yourself in New York, but you've got a little place not far out of there. So I would imagine, like as I spoke with Glenn Lovett yesterday, you've got yourself out of the city because that happens to be an epicentre for the coronavirus. So where do we find you now?
That's right. Yeah, I'm way out end of Long Island, out near Montauk. I've got a house out here, and it's been good. I'm with the missus and the three kids and locked down. Yeah, we've got a little apartment in New York City where we live most of the time, but we bailed about 2 weeks ago. So we got out just right around the time when Trump said it was a national emergency, and we sort of packed everything up and came out here. I did sneak back into town last week to pick up some more supplies. It was like one of those running for supplies in like The Walking Dead, one of those shows or that. It was crazy. I had to get in, get my stuff and get out of town because they were pretty vigilant, the police and the authorities in there, and kicking you out of town. So lucky to be have a backyard and being able to walk around a small town.
Hey, Blanksy, it's great to speak to you again. It's been a long, long time. For those that don't know you, Gary sort of gave a brief introduction to you today. How did you end up in New York?
Yeah, I was an unemployed accountant, and I'm originally from Cobram. You know, spent all my time going to Melbourne, in Melbourne, Western Bulldogs fan. But I found myself in Sydney, jumping on the sort of the Sydney Olympics bandwagon. I couldn't get an accounting job up there. No one would hire me before the Olympics. So I had a wedding prepaid for everything paid up in New York City in like a month before the Sydney Olympics. And I thought, well, I'd always like to be in entertainment. I always liked the radio call-in guys, the guys that would call in with reports and stuff. And so while I was over in New York for the wedding, I rang 20 stations, and everyone hung up on me because they couldn't understand me. And one station called me in, and the next day I went in there, and I thought it was just going to be a pitch or a, like a job interview or whatever. Yep. And my pitch then was, I want to be your Sydney Olympic correspondent. And they threw me straight on the radio, straight on air. And the two DJs, which was Scott Shannon and Todd Pettengill, who were a big show, Scott and Todd's show, and they said, do you have any experience? And I said, no. And they said, you're perfect, you're hired, you are now our Sydney Olympics correspondent. I got on the plane, went back to my place in Bondi and called in every day during the Olympics. I was always about six beers deep by the time I got on the call. So I was a bit shaky, guys, but somehow I've managed to turn that into a job.
And a job you've turned it into. You have now, and we're doing a bit of a different program now, Blanksy, as you can appreciate, with not much sport around. So you've now become very familiar with some of the biggest celebrities in the world, and you bowl up to them and you interview them regularly. Tell us who's the nicest, who's the one that you've got to know most, who's been a little bit ornery?
Yeah, Ricky Gervais is the best. Yeah, I mean, he smashes me every time. I think he just likes the sort of the circumference of my head. You know, he likes heads that look like oranges. He called me a half-eaten bison. He said my head looks like that. I don't even know what that's a buffalo, is it? So he has a different name for my head every time, but he's very good. I mean, I was interviewing Ricky when no one knew who he was on red carpets in America, and it's just quite fascinating that he's become, you know, a global superstar comedian. And so he always gives great chat to you. It's usually the quickest people that, you know, that are good, like Clive Owen is very funny. Yep. Angelina Jolie, but not so much the last decade, but in the O's, she was always fantastic because you sort of get lost in her eyes. You know, she was very seductive as you talk to her. And poor bloke, I know I get shakes and I get the nervousness going and whatever. But I've met some very interesting people.
So what are you doing now, work-wise? Who are you working for now and what are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm with CBS FM, but I got to tell you, Tim, it's... this dialing, I have to dial in, so I can't really log in full time. So I'm calling into the show. I'm probably hanging on by the skin of my teeth onto a radio job. I don't know how radio is going to be coming out of this in New York. And, you know, the head DJ, who I'm still with, Scott Shannon, he's calling in from Florida. Half his golf club down there have the corona, so I just hope he falls through. And then you've got the lady who on the show, Patty Steele, she's calling in from out in Jersey. So we're sort of a patchwork operation going on at the moment. But, yeah, still just on the air, Tim.
Tell us about, I mean, we could talk to you for 3 hours on or 3 days in actual fact, because I've heard those stories. But a recent one you had, you met the urban survivalist. What is all that about?
Yes. So this is when Tim and Gary, when I went out into Times Square the other day, I wanted to interview a few people, get a few feelings. There weren't many people there, but this one guy, I practiced, you know, social distancing as I interviewed this guy, Brian, the urban survivalist, who has some tips on how to pull through this crazy time.
Lots of vitamin C and orange juice. Yeah, that's how you survive. You see, you get your orange juice and you take it with about maybe 15,000-20,000 milligrams of vitamin C to boost your immune system.
Have you been telling a lot of people this is what you've got to do to beat corona?
No, because they wouldn't listen anyway. These are New Yorkers.
It's just a local celebrity in Times Square.
Local celebrity. Geez, Tim, wouldn't you love to have learned that the night before your debut footy match?
That's all it takes. That's all it takes, Blakesy.
Look, I'm trying to get my lawn right too. I'm trying to work on my lawn. It's coming into spring, so I've got plenty of time on my hands. Any tips?
Yeah, well, you can...
the lawn perfect?
Tim reckons he knows everything about lawn, so he can give you some tips, and then you can send in a picture. You might win our lawn competition, Blanksy, that we're just kicking off next week.
I'll do that for sure. We've got horse racing, Gary. With the only thing going, I know you guys have got your horse racing here, the Florida Derby's on Saturday. So that's sort of, there's only about four or five tracks left in the United States that are kicking on. So that's the only sport that's sort of happening here. And baseball opening day was meant to be right now, and sadly, that's not going on. So still hanging in there. We don't know when this will come back. They're saying about 2.5 months. What's that, 10 weeks?
Well, yeah, although Trump reckons you're going to be back for Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my goodness.
Blanksy, you follow the lives of all these celebrities and all these sporting stars over there in the States. How are they coping? What are they doing during this period of downtime?
Well, there's a lot of them are idiots, I should underline. So it's not awkward blokes that are good ladies I interview. I'm still reeling about a week ago when they put out that Imagine video of all those celebrities singing the John Lennon song. I mean, that just made you wanted to throw up. That was terrible. But you're getting some good. Look, I mean, it's quite interesting to get a look at some of these celebrities' homes. I mean, Tim, you're an interior designer. I know Gary loves to design. They've got some good houses. Those Kardashian girls know how to put up a painting, don't they? They're in their living room, and they're doing a bit better than some IKEA furniture, aren't they? But yeah, it's good to see how these celebrities are really living.
And speaking of that, you said you're down the Long Island way. That's down near that's the Hamptons area, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess technically, but I don't know.
You've come a long way from Cobram, Blanksy. You've pretended you're in Long Island. You're in the Hamptons, swallowing it with all the big knobs.
No, I live a very quiet life. I walk around town. I do run into your mate, Glenn Lovett. I saw him this morning. Glenn was good. I kept my distance from him. We had a nice 7-meter chat about life, which is good. He's struggling, no girlfriends for a couple of months, but he'll work it out.
He will.
Hey, that's a big concern. What do these single people do? What do single people do? It's very disturbing for those people.
That is a very good question that thankfully Tim and I don't need to worry about, nor your good self with your beautiful partner. Hey, great to catch up with you this morning.
Great, Gary. Great stuff, Tim. Wonderful to hear your voices. Good on you,
mate. Good on you, Blanksy.
And I'm glad you're listening in when you're going for your jog, and hopefully we can put a smile on your face. Tim, to sit down as you have done and talk about these celebrities that Blanksy has dealt with over the journey is a fascinating chat. I mean, he's got all the front in the world, just bowls up at the red carpet, up to Tom Cruise, and away he goes. And he's now made this name for himself over 15 years, doing an amazing job. It's just a great story. If you want to chase your dream, go and chase it.
Yep, no, it's a great story, and he's become a star over there on the airwaves, Gary. And, of course, we've created our own little star back here in Melbourne, in Whippy Watson, The Adventures of Whippy Watson. It's a serial, a radio serial. It's taken the world by storm.
It has indeed. It's 3 episodes old, but it's not so much what we can produce in terms of the storyline of Whippy Watson, although you've done some very sharp stuff. It's the listeners, it's you guys and girls out there that make suggestions after it that keeps us entertained. So please just sit back. We'll take a break. We've got the next instalment coming up, and then we want your contributions on just where Whippy Watson go. If you've tuned in and don't know who Whippy is, he's a little 13-year-old fat boy up in Dumbuka who he's taken the footy world by storm, and he's now got almost every AFL club heading to Dumbuka to try and sign him up, and that is where it sits right now. So we'll be back after this. Don't forget the caller of the year. Brand new Toyota Kluger GX two-wheel drive. The Toyota Kluger range now at $1,000 free Toyota genuine accessories. We'll take a break. The next instalment of the Adventures of Whippy Watson is next.
I was born.
Melbourne Airport Parking. We're here to get you there. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great of you to join us this morning. Fun Friday it is. We've got an hour to go till we hand over to Kano, I would imagine. Kane Corns. We've had a bit of fun today, Wispy. We're going to have more. We're going to have to make our own fun and entertainment without sport at this particular time, of course. This is another one for Whippy Watson. Meanwhile, little Whippy Watson is at home teaching his mum how to make risotto, and his mum says, "That's not risotto, Whippy. That's wet fried rice." If you don't know what that means, Wisp reckons he's the greatest risotto maker of all time. He makes it in about 12 minutes. We're going to talk some recipes and cooking in this hour as well. Jason Richardson will join us to review his performance on The Adventures of Whippy Watson. But before we do all that, young lady you took, just we were very enamoured with when she came into our studio, Wispy. She's an Opal. She's a basketball star. Her name's Kayla George, and her husband and the dogs, I'm told, and this week driven from Melbourne to North Queensland before the border closure. We needed to touch base with Kayla to find out how that went, and she joins us on the line. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning, lads. How are we?
We're going nicely. It's a strange times, and you and your husband and your dogs have had a very interesting week, I would imagine.
Yeah, we left Melbourne Tuesday lunchtime. We packed up the old Hilux and we headed back on up. My husband had just driven down to come live with me in Melbourne to prep for the Olympics. And so we were there for 3 weeks together, and then we've had to turn around and come back before the border shut on Wednesday at midnight.
That's a long trip, Kayla, in the car together. How did things go along the way? A bit of I Spy, or what sort of games did you play in the car just to keep yourselves occupied?
Yeah, a bit of I Spy. No, we actually enjoyed a lot of singing. We tried to sing a bit together to stay awake, especially late at night. But we actually enjoyed the trip. You know, it was quite isolated. We were off the grid for a fair chunk of it. We went up the guts of Queensland. So we were in central Queensland for a lot. So keeping an eye out for the road, roadkill, the cows, the kangaroos and all that kind of thing was a bit tricky at night, but we were pretty fortunate to not have to run into any of that. But we drove past a few rodeo arenas, which is really cool. It was actually a really good experience, and we stopped off at Dubbo on the first night and then Emerald last night, the night before, and then last night making it home here to camp. So it was actually, you know, 12 hours on a 10-hour day. So, wow. I mean, that's pretty huge, but it's a really big and beautiful country. So to go straight up the guts of central Queensland was a really cool experience.
That is a long, long drive, Kayla. And the dogs, so what sort of dogs were you travelling with?
We've got two Huskies, Siberians. Oh, wow.
Huskies are perfect for North Queensland.
Yeah, actually, I've heard that their coat just insulates them, so, you know, it regulates the temperature when it's cold and when it's hot, so they're probably a bit cooler than other dogs out there is what I've heard. So that's what I'm going with.
Oh, you'll need an ice vest for both those dogs.
Yeah, we've got tiles all through our house, typical North Queensland, so they just lounge around on the tiles. They're very spoilt. I'm sure, like, Pumpkin the cat is quite spoilt.
Pumpkin, yeah, he's spoilt. Hey, a lot of people would be sort of taking longer trips on the road. What did you have some – what snacks did you go with? I'm always interested in
oh, yes.
How'd you go there?
Okay. So when we left Melbourne, we had some peanut butter pretzels from the pick and mix section at Coles and some popcorn from the pick and mix section at Coles, which is covered in caramel and chocolate. They were a hot favourite. And then when we got into the country towns, those places didn't have a Coles, or they didn't have a Coles or the pick and mix section. So we got pizza shapes, barbecue shapes, and some peckish crackers. My husband got some Mars bars and I got some Malteser buttons. So that was kind of our snack trip.
It's nice and healthy, which I really enjoy, Kayla.
No, well, you didn't let me finish. I also had bananas, plums and apples. So that was a nice treat as well. But when we stopped, like, we had half my food from my kitchen in Melbourne in the back, so, like, I had, like, wraps and stuff for, like, lunch. So we didn't eat, like, bad the whole way. But it's hard. You're in the middle of nowhere. You've got to eat what you got around you.
Yeah,
hey, like,
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
What about a little bit of roadkill along the way as well, Kayla?
Yeah, fortunately, we didn't hit any roadkill. We almost hit a cow the night before last because there was, like, a herd of cows on the road right before Emerald. So that was a little scary, but thankfully the old high beam showed us them a bit beforehand. But there was so much of it in central Queensland, it was crazy. But we didn't hit any, which was obviously great for us in the car. But, yeah, there's a lot out there. It's a lot going on.
We're talking to Australian basketballer Kayla George, and the last time we spoke to you in the studio, you're actually still preparing for the Olympics. Now we know that they've been postponed. How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I'm just feeling really, I'm always glass half full with everything, and the thought of not having an Olympics at all was quite overwhelming. So the fact that it's been postponed next year is obviously the best scenario possible, because, I mean, you want to be in an Olympics, you want to be playing in one, you don't want it to be cancelled completely. So I'm just, you know, like everyone else, regrouping, just this is such a strange time, as you can agree. So the fact that we've just got a little bit more time to prepare, it's a bit easier to get my head around than having it cancelled altogether.
And will you be doing some training, Kayla, while you're up there?
Yeah, I've got our home workout gym. I'm going to set that all up today. We've got some bands and we've got some kettlebells and things like that. And I've got a really steep driveway, so, you know, I'll pop the weight vest on and do a couple of sprints up the hill. So, I mean, we'll figure it out. The Opal's strength and conditioning coach, Jan Legg, she sent me through, you know, some stuff to do to stay fit. So, I mean, you've got to do what you've got to do. You've got to stay motivated. And, I mean, you just have to go online. Everyone's doing something to stay motivated. So it's, yeah. Good time.
Might have to do a couple of extra after those Maltesers and Mars bars.
Oh, mate, calm down, all right? My husband and I shared it, like, we need to calm down. Before I left on Tuesday, I did a big leg session on Monday, so, like, everyone calm down, okay? Like, I'll just juice all weekend. I'll take a leaf out of your book and juice all weekend.
Have you got a backboard set up there too, so you can sort of keep in tune with that and keep your touch around the court?
I don't, but after a little while of self-isolating, I might have to just, you know, go find a court at 5 a.m. when no one's around, a little outdoor court, and just get up some shots. I'm really missing the game, to be honest. I haven't played it in over a month, so, you know, an actual game. But I did some training on Monday before one of the courts down in Melbourne closed. But, yeah, it's really bizarre. But hopefully there's an outdoor court that I can go train at in the coming weeks. But we'll see how this all plays out.
And Kayla, while you're up there, I mean, are you into fishing or crabbing or other stuff you do up in far north Queensland?
I'm not at all. But my husband's a Torres Strait Islander, so he, you know, culturally deep sea dives for fish and crayfish and all that kind of thing. So he's all about that life. But there's no way. I don't get in the water at all up here. I'm more of a sunbaker. But, you know, I don't. There's crocs in the water up here too. And I mean, I'm not a shark person either. So, you know, but the crocs are pretty scary as well. When we take the dogs to the beach, we've always got to look at the surface for their eyes popping up. So we just got to be real careful up here. It's a bit of a different thing up here.
I'm not sure how those huskies are going to go up there, Kayla, to be quite They just don't sound like they're North Queensland dogs to me.
We just hope they make it back, Melbourne. Kayla.
Yeah. No, they're super fluffy, but some of their hair will go now because it's a bit warmer here, obviously. So they'll be fine. They're living their best life indoors in the aircon. They're absolutely spoiled to the days. They're fine.
It's great to talk to you. Just one more thing. When we did speak in the studio, we love the fact that you know, you're a great mentor to young women, young females, of course. I guess this does allow you some more time, and from a social media point of view, you can continue to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually got my second online program starting on Monday the 29th. So this gives me a bit more opportunity to just prepare and, just show a lot of the stuff that I'm doing online, which I think a lot of people are doing now, which is great. But, yeah, my program in particular starts on Monday for girls of any age, really. I've kind of broadened it to whoever just wants to have a watch and, yeah, I'll just be showing my home workouts, basketball-related and fitness-related, and then, like, how I fuel my body and things like that. So, and also just talk to the girls, like, mentor them, what questions I've got, you know, what they're dealing with in life. And this situation in itself, I would just talk to them about how I'm dealing with it, things like that. So just, you know, trying to help motivate and mentor these young girls on and off the court, I guess. So, yeah, that starts Monday. KaylaGeorge.com, self-plug.
That's it, KaylaGeorge.com.au. With me?
Yeah.
And just quickly before we let you go, Kayla, is there any chance that you might take a photo of your two dogs? What are their names, by the way?
I've got Coco and Caesar up here. I can take a photo. That's too easy. I've got hundreds of them on my phone.
Ah, magnificent. What we'll do is we'll put it up on our website so people can actually see the dogs that you're talking about. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
And you look after yourself.
You guys too. Stay safe, stay healthy.
Yeah, indeed. We love talking to you and we'll stay in touch. Kayla George. Got a lot of love out there from our listeners. She's a crack-up, straight up the guts. And then she mated me a couple of times, this which sends a resonated with our audience. It's great to talk to Kayla. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking some recipes, some cooking, some Whippy Watson, whatever you want to talk about. We might throw the lines open, 1-300-736-736. And Tim got a letter from a viewer of Talking Footy that we are going to read out just to give you some sort of an insight into the fierce scrutiny that we are under in this business. We'll be back after this.